It's good to have everybody here this evening. And we are going to take a look here in just a few minutes at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. But before we do that, it's time for review. So, once again, what were the three major issues facing John's audience? Say it again. Spread of persecution by Rome. Secondly, false teachers or false teachings. What false teachings? Let's take it a little bit deeper. Okay, Gnosticism, what else? What were some of the things that the Jews were trying to incorporate into the teachings of the law? Okay, what else? Pastor talked about it a couple weeks ago. Circumcision. Oh, y'all are paying attention. That's good. That's good. So, when we say false teachings, I want us to be aware of what we're talking about there, not just saying false teachings and we kind of don't know exactly what was going on in that day. And then the rise and growth of Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? What's that? They don't believe in the resurrection. Okay. So you have some homework to do there. Look up Gnosticism if you don't know what it is. I did a little review on it. One of the things is they feel that the earth was created by an imperfect spirit. That's a problem. Okay. Because we believe what? Created by Almighty God. Okay, is he imperfect? No. Right? So the perfect holy creator. So the rise and growth of Gnosticism in his day. You all did well. I give you an A. What was John's purpose in writing these letters? Our joy complete. Okay, we see that in chapter 1, verse 4. What else? I write this unto you so that you will not sin, chapter 2, verse 1, or to prevent the child of God from committing sin. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray, okay, to protect the child of God from false teachers. And then we will get to chapter 5, verse 13 in a few weeks. Next week, Dr. Wilson will be finishing up portion from last week and doing verses 4 and 5 from chapter 5. So verse 13 is a little bit away. So we'll get to the fourth part. So for our text tonight, there's a little bit of a differing of opinion because some folks think that verses 1 through 3 of chapter 5 are a continuation of what John was writing in chapter 4, which starting in verse 7 of chapter 4, pretty much to the end of the chapter, which, as a reminder, once again, these were letters written by John. There weren't chapter divisions when John wrote them. Okay, so those were added later. So, what we call chapter 4, verses 7 and on, there is a lot of talk about what? Four-letter word. Love. Okay, a lot of talk about love. And as we continue in chapter 5, and starting tonight in verse 1, John makes a reference back to faith. And so a lot of folks feel that this is the start of a different thought by John. I believe it's both. I believe it's a continuation about love, but it's also interweaving faith. Because really, they go together. Okay, we have faith, and then after we have faith, and we're going to talk more about that faith and what we have faith in. But, as I said, some think it's a continuation. Others believe it is the start of focusing on faith, and then others believe it is a combination of both. And I subscribe to this. So, our text, once again, 1 John 5, 1 through 3. And if we look there in verse 1, on the screen, you have the ESV. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Now, if you have the King James in front of you, the wording's a little different. It's a little awkward. I'll read it for you here. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Reads very similar, if not exact. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So that phrasing trips a few folks up. I chose to go with ESV tonight on the screen here. So I want us to focus first on everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. That word believes in the Greek is pistuo, and it means to place confidence in, and one of the items is in a moral or religious reference, to trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. And one of the instances given is saving faith. Now, according to this verse, what are we believing? Jesus is the Christ. So, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, let's talk about who is Jesus. Okay, so we've got the Son of God. I expect this to be interactive this evening, by the way, folks. So, I don't want to call on anyone. The four-year-olds are very interactive with me on Sunday mornings, so I would appreciate that level. So, what else do we know? Who is Jesus? Okay, the Messiah, say it. Part of the triune God. Savior. Sinless one. Teacher. Okay, all good answers. Here's a list I came up with. Some of them you all mentioned. So he was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was born of a virgin. He came to earth from heaven. He was all God and all man. What do we call that? Someone other than either Steve or Sean? The hypostatic union. Thank you. I heard that from the back. He died for the sins of mankind. He physically rose again from the dead, and he's coming again for the saints. Anyone disagree with any of this? No? Okay. So, notice that John not only said we are to believe Jesus, but specifically that Jesus is the Christ. And I know we've heard messages in here before about Jesus Christ that's not his name. It's not his first and last name. It is referring to his earthly name and his position. Okay? So let's talk about Christ. The Greek word is Christos, which means anointed. Christ was and is the Messiah or the Son of God. So the bottom line is that we are to believe the gospel. When you put together what we said, who Jesus is, and combine that with the fact that he is the prophesied Messiah, and he has come to this earth, and he did do what was prophesied, that he would die for the sins of mankind, and that he also would rise again, right? And he's coming back again someday for us. So we are to believe the gospel. If we look in Galatians 2:16, it says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Another verse. So the instructions here is that everyone who believes Jesus, which we described earlier, is the Christ or the anointed one. That's what is getting ready to follow. So we're getting ready to find out what are those folks who fall into that category supposed to do. Now, before we get there, you may say, well, all people that call themselves Christians believe what we just covered. No? Why not? Do they? Here's an article. So there was an article. Now, I took this from Stephen Davies, and it actually comes from a book by Chuck Swindoll. And the title of the article was The Startling Beliefs of Our Future Ministers. And they surveyed seminary students from several major denominational seminaries. And they asked them at least these four questions. I'm not sure if there were more. So they asked them, do you believe in a physical resurrection? To be more specific, we're speaking of Christ here. Question two, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Number three, do you believe in the deity of Christ? Now, when we say the deity of Christ, just so we make sure everyone's following, what do we mean by deity of Christ? That he is God, right? Okay. And do you believe in the second coming of Christ? Now, here are the results. Remember, seminary students of several major denominational seminaries, 54% said no, they do not believe in a physical resurrection. 56% said no, they don't believe in the virgin birth. 89% said they don't believe in the deity of Christ. And 99% said they don't believe in the second coming of Christ. Now, when they say major denominational seminaries, I do not know which seminaries they were. That's a great question, sister. Why did they go? Now, let's talk about this real quick, because we've got time. So let's talk about the physical resurrection. If you don't believe in a physical resurrection of Christ, what's the problem with that? What's that? Right. Where was his body? If he didn't physically resurrect, if it was just I guess they're saying they believe in a spiritual resurrection, there would have still been a body, yes? So then at that point, you don't believe what the Bible says, because when they went in, what was there? An empty tomb. Okay? What's the problem if you don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ? He would have been like any other man, and so therefore, he could not die for our sins, because he would have had a sin nature. Okay. What about the deity of Christ? If you don't believe that, then you don't believe that Jesus was God, part of the triune. And so if you don't believe that, then he couldn't have lived a sinless life. So you can't say I believe that he was born of a virgin, but I don't believe he was God. Because if you don't believe he was God, there's no way, first of all, that, you know, why would he have been born of a virgin? And second of all, he would not have been able to live a sinless life. And if he didn't live a sinless life, then he's just like you and I. And if that's the case, he could not die for our sins.
And then if he also couldn't have been resurrected as well.
Then he could not have been resurrected as well. That's correct. And then you have the second coming of Christ. If you don't believe in that, what is our hope? I mean, if he's not coming back, then what is our future? All right. So, while it's sad, the scary part of this is the survey was taken in 1961. Think about that. That's before Sean and I were born. Okay. Well, okay. Denny and I. How about that? Sorry. You just happen to be in my eyesight over there. So, and it was way before Pam was born. So, Let's move on. So everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now, as we continue to read down through this and we read about love and we also read about faith, I mean, it's not the first time that John's mentioned it either in the book of John or in 1 John, but this born of God, we're going to talk more about here. And so since we're born of God, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. There we go. Pam said she had my back tonight on that. So John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, who is Jesus talking to here?
Nicodemus.
Okay. And we're familiar with this passage and we understand that we must be born again. And that's what John is talking about in 1 John 5:1. That we have been born again if we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And there's a lot that goes with that. That's why I wanted to kind of unpack that phrase so we all understand where John is coming from. Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And in Galatians 4:5, it says to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. It's important that we continue to view the big picture. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes we find ourselves kind of compartmentalizing different parts of Scripture and different doctrine. And we need to see where they all come together. So believing that Jesus is the Christ and all those things we talked about with who is Jesus and Him being the Messiah, that ties into our salvation, our being born again, which also is spoken of in the New Testament about being adopted into the family of God. Now, because we have been adopted, and then we have Ephesians 1:5 as well, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, John goes on to say that you've been born again, and everyone who loves the Father, okay, talking of God the Father, loves whoever has been born of Him. So, how do we show love to the Father? Okay, who?
Obedience.
Okay, obedience to what? Okay, loving our brother. To his precepts. Okay, thank you, Phil.
Having a relationship with him.
Having a relationship with him.
Worship.
Worship.
Praise.
Praise.
Prayer.
Prayer. Okay.
Loving others.
Okay, excellent. Here's, as I thought through this, and I gave a lot of thought to how can we show love to the Father? And you all named several of them. One of them is praise. How do we praise God? Okay, giving thanks. Through song? Okay. By the way, I would like to commend you all because you all sang very well tonight. It's nice to sit up front and hear everyone singing from behind. And that's not always the case. And obviously, I like to sing. All right. So when I'm singing to the Lord, God doesn't get cheated. Okay. As a matter of fact, some folks probably wish that I would sing a little softer. Okay, and you don't want to be with me in my truck because I'm not holding back. Okay, it might not always sound good, but I'm not holding back.
Amen.
All right, so let me encourage you that that is one way to show your love for God.
Amen.
If you come in here, and I know Wednesday nights especially, Wednesday nights for some reason always get difficult. Okay? You know, yeah, it's hump day, but we act like we're still climbing the hill on hump day. Okay? Instead of on the downhill slide toward the weekend. Okay? So when you come in here, all right, just push everything else out. And I know sometimes that's hard. Okay? I know our sister Mary right now is in a lot of pain. So if she gets a chance to watch on the video stream, okay, she's probably not feeling like praising. Okay? Right? All right, Brother James. But, I mean, we're all here tonight. We might have a headache. We might have an ingrown toenail. We might have, you know, a broken bone somewhere that's healing. Whatever it is, we need to put that aside because, you know what? God is good.
Amen.
Okay? And that's not just a saying. That's a belief.
Amen.
Okay? And we have to be faithful to praise Him regardless of whether we're in a good time or we're in a bad time.
That's right.
Prayer. Okay? Here's something that we do a lot. Someone comes to us and says, oh, I got this or that or the other going on. Please pray for me. And, oh, I'll pray for you, brother. And then what do?
Walk away
and we forget about it. Okay? So tonight I want to encourage us not to do that.
Right.
I want to encourage us to really take prayer seriously. Prayer, it's not just going through the motions, folks. It's really about taking Mary Batie, who is in tremendous pain in the hospital, and praying for her. Our brother Tony Hess has a very serious medical condition. Okay, his body is not producing blood platelets. That, we need to pray for him. Okay? Robin, Tony Derry, we've got lots of folks that need prayer. And so let me encourage you to do that. Soul worship. Okay? So you worshiping, okay? Not worrying about what everybody else does. You worshiping God. Okay? And I don't just mean on Sunday and on Wednesday, all the time. Giving to Him through the church. You go, oh, here we go. Well, folks, it's just a reality. Okay? I'm not going to preach on it. It's just a reality. And if you're already given, great. But if you're not, it's an act of love. It's an act of sacrifice a lot of times. Maybe you're in a position where giving just is, it seems impossible. I've been there. But I will tell you what, God has always been faithful.
Amen.
Reading His Word. Telling others of the gospel. Folks, I don't do all these things on this list, okay? And I need to improve on a lot of these things on this list. I'm just giving us examples of how we can show love to the Father. And then coming together with other true believers, as we are doing tonight. And we have a lot of folks that are inconsistent, I'll put it that way, in their attendance. Obviously, you're here on a Wednesday night, you're probably not one of them. But you might know somebody who's not here other than maybe a Sunday morning. Talk to them. Okay? And then we get to this. Loves whoever has been born of Him. Now, going back to who loves the Father, Father God, He is perfect, right?
Yes.
He is holy, right? He is just, correct?
Yes.
So it should be pretty easy to love Him, yes? But now we get to us. Okay? And this is where we need a lot of work too. So I ask you now, how do believers show love to other believers? Accountability. Okay, great one, sister. Who else? What's that?
Service.
Service. forgiving,
listening,
praying, rebuking, edifying, fellowshipping. Okay. All right. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. So here's a list that I came up with. It's not all inclusive. Some of them you guys came up with as well. So being kind. Once again, I don't do everything on this list well. Okay. That was the wrong time for an amen, but anyway, thanks. Oh, if only y'all could see the little group I was texting with this week. So anyway, being kind. What's that? Now, if you have family members who are believers, okay, that's where you should start. Because I will tell you, even this afternoon, even though I prepared for this message, I was not the kindest to my wife as we were building a gate. Okay? And we tend to be the least kind to our family a lot of times. And I don't know why that is. I know I'm not the only one that's like that. But I guess we feel like they'll forgive us. And so, you know, I mean, where are they going to go? I mean, I'm paying the house payment, you know. But that's the wrong attitude. And we should never think like that. And we should not act like that. Being aware of and meeting needs. Now, I know I've spoken about this before. Folks, this goes two ways. How many of you in here have a need? Raise your hand. I don't need to know your need. If you have a need, raise your hand. Okay? Now, I want those of you who raised your hand to think who all in this church knows about that need. You don't need to answer. I just want you to think about it. Now, for those of you who didn't raise your hand and you saw someone raise their hand, do you know what that need was? Once again, rhetorical question. I would venture to say that we don't know most of the needs that people have in this church. And it's going to be that way in just about any church you go to. Because our pride gets in the way. And if we have a need, we don't want to let anybody know what that need is because we don't want to appear needy. Well, folks, how are we ever supposed to meet your need if we don't know what it is? I mean, and that's biblical.
Right.
So we need to, what? Get to know each other. Okay? Now, I love it when we have fellowship time, but that little 5-minute clock is not enough to know somebody. Okay? Jennifer Jefferson and I sat across from each other back at Christmas, at the Christmas party that we had, and she started telling me about grandchildren. I'm like, I didn't even know you had grandchildren. And I've been going to church with Jennifer Jefferson since 2001. So shame on me. And that's not a need. That's just me not getting to know other believers in the church. Folks, when we have these backyard barbecues, it's not just to go shove food in your face and then leave. It's to actually fellowship, get to know people. Ask them, how are you doing? We do it in the hallway. You know, when the flocks, they come and they drop off little May, which now they've taken her on to kindergarten. But when she was in our 4-year-old class, okay, my tendency is make sure the child gets in the room and that they start right away playing with the toy. And I try to know who the parents are, but I neglect it a lot of times. And it's not intentional, it's just there's a lot going on. And so later on, I need to go back and I need to get to know them. What are their names? How many children do they have? Because they might have more than just the one. You know, what does Brother Flock do? Okay, he's obviously in the Army, he's got an Army uniform on. But what does he do in the army? And he'll probably tell me some like 18 x-ray or something, like I know what that means. But anyway, my point is, we need to get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to then pray for them. We need to speak words of encouragement. Someone said edify. Okay. So speak words of encouragement. We do a lot of that on our ski trip. Speak the truth in love. Someone said rebuke. Okay, so possible. I had rebuke, and I thought maybe that's a little too strong, so I said reproof. Sister said accountability. That falls under the same one. Folks, not all of us do everything right. As a matter of fact, most of us do a lot wrong. But if we're in violation of God's word, then we are commanded, commanded to go to our brother or sister and to try to bring them back. Now, how many really like to do that? Because that's really a lot of fun. Raise your hand. No, we don't like to do it. Okay? We're uncomfortable. It's going to end up being conflict. So we end up with a bunch of excuses about, well, you know, I'm just really not the right person for that. And they'll think I'm being judgmental and I'm being legalistic. And well, folks, if we don't, the end result is they just fade off. Okay. And then it's just a mess. Okay. So we need to speak the truth in love. We need to take a genuine interest in their lives, and we need to listen, which was said down here. Those are just some of the things we can do to show love towards the believer. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more you could think of, but that is a few of them. So we get to verse 2, and I better hurry. He says, by this we know. So this here simply is proof or evidence. That phrase is, we know what? That we love the children of God. Now notice in verse 1, he said, you love the Father, and because you love the Father, you love the other believers. But here he's switched it up and he says that we love the children of God. How do we know that we love the children of God? So I said, notice he reverses this. When we love God. So he said the same thing as he did in verse 1. He's just reversed it. And so prerequisite to loving other believers is to love God. Okay. Because who is the source of our love? God, right? God is love. And He has given to us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what guides us. So when I say that unkind word, I go, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then we move on. Hopefully. But before you can love others, you have to love God. Because we're all unlovable, folks. Once again, God is perfect, God is just, God is holy, and we are not. And obey His commandments. Now, the NASB says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. And I did some study and read several other folks' thoughts on this. And it's interesting because this word observe is that Greek word, tereo. And it means to attend to carefully, take care of, guard, or observe. Now, when I say observe something, and I'm telling you, I want you to guard it. But then when I tell you to keep His commandments, which is what it, how it read, or obey His commandments, obeying means what? To do something. It's an action verb, okay? Phil earlier said we obey His commandments. When we obey, so it's a little different from keeping. However, it's the same word. It's the same exact word. And so now I'd like to ask you, what are His commandments? What is John referring to here? Now, Some say the Ten Commandments. It's not referring to the Ten Commandments. Some say the commandments Christ spoke. While it does include some of those, it's not just the ones that Christ spoke. Some say it refers to the whole counsel of God, the Word of God. And that word, commandment, in the Greek is entole, which means an order, a command, a charge, a precept, or an injunction. So we have, in the New Testament, we have several commandments. Okay? Be ye kind one toward another. Is that a commandment or is it a suggestion?
It's a commandment.
It's a commandment. He didn't say if you feel like it, you might want to think about doing. Okay? He's telling us to do that. Now, obviously, we think of Christ. What two commandments did He give us? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So, that refers very similar back to what we've been learning tonight. Love God and the brethren. Okay? For this is the love of God. We've got to verse 3 now. For this is the love of God, or the love for God, as some of the translations have it, that we keep His commandments. Once again, we just talked about that. It's the exact same word. And that word keep there is the same word we had earlier for obey or observe. So it's encompassing all of that. So we need to be aware of, we need to guard, and we need to action, live out His commandments. And then in the end, he says, and His commandments are not burdensome. We're going to take a couple of minutes here. I want to read one of the translations has grievous. Okay? So, grievous. Definition is causing or characterized by severe pain, suffering, or sorrow. Burdensome. Listen to this. Difficult to carry out or fulfill. So he is saying his commandments are not difficult to carry out or fulfill. Or the word there is taxing. Taxing. Turn to Matthew 11. We're going to look at verses 28 through 30. Folks, I really hope you understand I am trying to encourage us tonight. I'm not getting on to us, and I am definitely far from perfect on that list, both lists that were mentioned tonight. And this passage of Scripture really challenged me because Pastor Sean spoke a few weeks ago about how we miserably fail to love. And I forget the exact verses that Sean had, but I was very challenged by that. And if you really think about what we've been learning in Galatians and how it ties to 1 John, it's just amazing. And two different writers, folks. I mean, you've got Paul writing and you've got John writing. And yet it just flows together in so many ways. But if you look there in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read verses 28 through 30. It says, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I will tell you, that I have heard that those verses read many times in my life and never once given a whole lot of thought to the yoke. First of all, yoke are normally used with oxen, horses, some sort of farm animal. I'm a city boy. Okay? No need to know anything about a yoke for oxen. But as I was studying for this lesson tonight, I did a little more research and I found out that the yoke, and I don't know why I didn't think about it. The yoke, normally you pair oxen. Okay, so you've got two of them. So your yoke allows for two oxen. How many ever thought about the fact that that yoke is usually custom crafted to the animal? Okay? It had to fit. Because every oxen's different. And I never thought about that. And not only that, so they wanted to make it comfortable. Going back to the severe pain a while ago that we were talking about. So they wanted to make it comfortable. Well, why do you care whether the oxen is comfortable? You want him to work. And if it hurts him, he's not going to pull. He or she's not going to pull. And if it ends up getting sick or the muscles break down or whatever, you need that ox. Right? And so here Christ is saying that his yoke is easy. And he says, learn of me or learn from me. So there's the picture of you and Christ being yoked together. And you're learning from him. Okay? Now I have two dogs. I know they're not oxen. But they very seldom ever want to go in the same direction with me. Okay? They want to do this, and then they want to cross each other. So if they're on a leash, it's just a total disaster right now. But with oxen, okay, they team up. And there's going to usually be a more dominant one, and the other one's going to follow along. And Christ is saying, learn of me. And you take my yoke, and it's custom fit for you. And so you are going to make progress together, and it's not burdensome. It's not painful. When it gets painful is when you want to pull against him. Or you want to stop. Or you're trying to turn around the other way. Okay? So that is the picture that is being painted for us here tonight. His commandments are not burdensome. Now, are we always going to succeed at him?
Nope.
We've already discovered that that's not the case. However, we know the task at hand. And Christ encountered, we read about it over and over again, he encountered a lot of ugliness in this world. Okay? Ugliness we can't even imagine. Living a perfect life on this earth and then being treated like he was treated. Now, granted, it was permitted by the Father and it was the Father's will. But we can't imagine being treated like that. I mean, think how we would respond. And so, I close tonight with this. Our faith in Jesus, the Christ, is manifested by our love for God and fellow believers. And so with that, I challenge each of us, myself included, to go out and to do those things. One last thing, one thing that I didn't put on the list, and I'm hopefully going to be able to keep it together here. I've been meaning to go see Sister Batie, and I haven't done it. And honestly, I don't really have an excuse why I haven't done it, brother. I just don't. You know, sometimes we have believers, they're either bedridden or they're in their house and they're not able to get out. And we hear about it from up here, whether it's Steve or Sean or whoever it is. Folks, if it was us, we would be hoping and praying someone would come visit us. So let's not just pray, but when we have someone in the hospital and they can be visited, let's visit. Okay? Because that is showing love to the brother. And that is something that we need to be doing on a regular basis, as John tells us here in chapter 5. verses 1 through 3. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come out tonight and for just showing me from these verses what you would have for us and to encourage one another to do these things that, one, show love to you, and two, show love to the brethren. And I pray that you would help us to put these different ideas, these different acts into motion, that we would live them out, and not just for a week and not just for a month, but Father, may they become a common practice in our lives, and may we honor and glorify you through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.